From the KTOO newsroom, I'm David Purdy with this news. With help from the Trump White House, a criminal justice reform bill is cruising through Congress. The First Step Act shortens sentences for some federal inmates and provides more opportunities for rehabilitation. It passed the Senate last night by a vote of 87 to 12, but both Alaska senators voted against it. Alaska Public Media's Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
Senator Dan Sullivan says his decision was driven in part by Alaska's experience with SB 91. That's the state criminal justice reform bill the Alaska legislature passed in 2016. Many associate it with an increase in car theft and burglaries, particularly in Anchorage and Juneau. Sullivan says it would be great if the federal bill works as intended to trim unfairly long sentences without compromising public safety.
But I have my doubts, and right now the concern about crime and criminal justice reform in Alaska is so high that that's the main reason why I'm voting against it.
He spoke Tuesday a few hours before he voted against the bill. Sullivan said the legislation, like SB 91, aims to reduce sentences for less serious crimes, but he says the leniency goes too far.
And I think that was one of the big challenges on SB 91, where some of the, quote, lower-level crimes had sentencing reductions and even going from a felony to a misdemeanor. And you saw, in many ways, a significant increase in crime.
The White House and much of Congress is celebrating the bipartisan support for the First Step Act. And in Alaska, SB 91 has its defenders, too.
There's not unlimited money. And if we're going to try to have resources for treatment, we have to do something different with nonviolent offenders who have little criminal history.
Democratic State Representative Matt Klayman of Anchorage says Alaska's crime increase coincided with the opioid crisis, and both started well before the legislature passed SB 91. Klayman says a report last month by the Alaska Criminal Justice Commission shows the state's reform laws are working.
We actually have a higher percentage now in Alaska prisons of violent offenders and a lower percentage of nonviolent offenders. We have fewer people in prison for simple possession. We have more people in prison for drug dealing, and we're spending more resources on rehabilitation.
But amid a highly visible spike in urban crime, criminal justice reform remains controversial in Alaska. Senator Lisa Murkowski issued a statement before her no vote, saying Congress needed more time to evaluate the bill. Proponents have been working on it for months, but it got a sudden boost in recent days with President Trump's support. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Donlin Gold has signed an agreement with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority to protect some of its wetlands in Cook Inlet. The company is trying to develop one of the biggest gold mines in the world in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. And the mine, if built, would disturb 2,800 acres of wetlands. Because Donlin can't restore all of those wetlands, it is required to protect wetlands somewhere else. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger has the details of that agreement.
This agreement is a big deal for the company if it goes through with its plans to build the mine. That's according to Kurt Perkin, Donlin Gold's spokesman.
We purchased the conservation easement on a portion of the Chewitna River. I think we're talking about 2,000 acres. And that restricts its use from any kind of development. So it protects that habitat, protects that stream. And that's one of the options that one has when they're getting their mitigation plans.
Donlin Gold just finished a lengthy and expensive environmental review that was led by the Army Corps of Engineers. And Donlin Gold had to describe its plans to restore or mitigate the wetlands it would disturb. To meet those mitigation requirements, the company proposed to protect wetlands somewhere else in Alaska, like this agreement with the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. The Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, or the Trust, is a state corporation that manages a trust that benefits Alaskans with a broad range of mental health issues. And part of that trust includes 1 million acres of state land. Wynn Menefee is the director of the Trust Land Office, and he says the agreement that Donlin just signed with the trust is a little bit complicated.
Donlin hasn't actually purchased the whole deed restriction yet. they've purchased an option for purchasing the deed restriction. So essentially what we've done is we've said, we will keep that available for you.
So Donlin agreed to pay $200,000 to the trust, plus additional money each year for 10 years. And that buys Donlin time to decide whether or not to go through with the mine. And if they go ahead with the mine, Donlin will pay $1.3 million to the trust to preserve those 2,000 acres for 99 years. Those acres are in the Cook Inlet area, hundreds of miles away from the actual mine site. This agreement isn't the only one Donlin has made or will make to mitigate impacts from the mine. Donlin also signed an agreement with the Tayanac Native Corporation for a conservation easement on 4,000 acres of land. And Donlin plans to sign another agreement with the Great Lands Trust to purchase 9 credits, the equivalent of 9 acres, to protect about 4 acres of wetlands in the Mat-Su Borough. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schellenberger in Bethel.
In Fairbanks, where winter temperatures often dip into the negative double digits, improving the energy efficiency of your house can be a big cost saver. But for those looking to retrofit by adding more insulation to their walls, there's a serious pitfall to watch out for: mold. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Ravenna Koenig has this report.
At the Cold Climate Housing Research Center in Fairbanks, engineer Robin Garber-Slatt leads the way to a shipping container in a stand of black spruce. Inside are heaters, pipes, a humidifier, and a huge humming fan, which are mimicking the conditions you might find in a house with high humidity.
It's very science-y. That's the way we describe it.
The walls of the container have been divided into 9 sections, with different types and thicknesses of insulation behind them. Each wall also contains wires with sensors that pick up temperature, moisture content, and other data.
And all of those wires go back to our central station where we're recording everything.
There is a problem that the Cold Climate Housing Research Center is trying to solve with these wired up walls, and it has to do with moisture and money. When people want to bring down their heating bill in Fairbanks, they sometimes put more insulation on the outside of their house. And since foam insulation is expensive, they'll often opt for something like 2 inches.
Every summer, driving through Fairbanks, I will see somebody adding this kind of retrofit to their home.
Here's the issue with that. Every home has moisture in the air. It's created by breathing, cooking, showering, and that moisture can find its way into the walls through various leaks. In a poorly insulated house with no foam on the outside, that moisture can condense inside the walls, freeze, and then evaporate to the outside of the house when summer rolls around, at least in a dry climate like Fairbanks. But with something like 2 inches of foam, the inside of the walls will likely be cold enough for the air moisture to condense into water, but not so cold that it freezes. And when summer comes, the foam can act like a barrier and prevent the water from evaporating out. Those are ripe conditions for mold, says Garber-Slatt. The test wall is evidence. In one winter, she says,
this wall that had 2 inches of beadboard on the outside of it grew mold. I mean, there's black mold on the backside of this wall.
The problem can be solved by adding enough insulation that the air in the walls stays close to the temperature of the air in the house. That standard will be different in different climate zones. But in a place as cold as Fairbanks, it can be something like 6 inches of foam, which is really expensive. The Cold Climate Housing Research Center hopes this experiment will help them come up with a cheaper option. In the meantime, says Garber-Slatt, there are other things homeowners can try that don't carry the same cost, like getting a home energy audit to help identify leaks.
Hot air moving through holes in the wall is really easy to block up, and it's a huge energy saver.
Or insulating the attic, since a lot of heat can be lost through the top of the house. And as for adding insulation to the wall, she says, homeowners across the state should talk to a professional first to figure out how much insulation is needed to keep risk of mold low. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.